get started with prayer, and then we'll get right into what we want to look at this afternoon. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for all that you are and all that you want to teach us and help us in as we seek to follow you and be conformed to your image. And we just pray you bless us, Lord, in this service and in the weeks to come as we ask that you would teach us to pray, Lord. And just bless us in this, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And it's something that we recognize that as believers that we don't... If someone was to say, well, as a believer, do you pray? And we would say, well, yeah, I pray. And pray it when I wake up, usually, or go to bed, or I pray at meals. But then if someone asked, well, as a believer, do you have a prayer life? Then it would be some, well, not exactly sure. If we do have a life, it's not like a big, strong, amazing life. It's a lot of times it's a lot smaller than we would like. But we want to realize it as believers that we don't pray just as a matter of spiritual obligation. That it's not something that, well, I know I'm supposed to do it as a Christian, so therefore I do it. It'd be the same as like, well, I know I'm, as a Christian, I'm supposed to read my Bible, so I'll do that, but it's hard to remember and things. But it's getting that sense, well, no, I shouldn't just do reading my Bible out of duty. It should be my delight to be in the love of the Lord and meditate therein day and night. And it's the same with prayer. It's not something that we want to have the attitude where, well, I should do that, but more the idea, well, we get to do it. And so it's not just a matter of spiritual obligation, but that we develop a life of prayer. And that for us as believers, that prayer would not just be something that we do, but something that defines us as believers, that people would look at us and see us as being men and women of prayer. And it's kind of the thing, how do we pray? And for some of you kids here, you probably try to wonder, well, how do you learn to pray and everything? And you don't know where to start. But honestly, for us as adults, we don't really know where to start either. We can maybe fake it a little bit more that we know what we're doing, but a lot of times we don't. And that's what we see in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. It says we don't know what to pray for as we ought, and we need the Spirit to help our infirmities, to come alongside and pray with us. And so it's a thought that as we want to learn to pray, but we don't know where to start, that our prayer needs to be as the disciples was in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. I'm just going to turn there. Luke 11 and verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." And so that's the thing. The disciple came to him and said, "Lord, please teach us to pray." And he wanted that. He saw him praying and he wanted to be able to do the same. And that's what we want our prayer to be. And because it's, again, our whole focus from when we're saved to when we pass from this life is to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's what we're aiming for. That's what the work that God is doing within us. And so we know that Jesus was a man of prayer. And so we realize, well, I want to be a man of prayer like Him and like so many other men and women in the Bible. But I want to give kind of three thoughts to this that maybe kind of help you, kind of encourage you, spur you on with it. It's, first of all, we want to recognize Christ as our teacher in prayer. And we recognize that Jesus wants us to learn how to pray, that it isn't something where God basically says, well, you need to pray more, but then He isn't there, like He doesn't just leave us to ourselves and then just kind of say, well, why haven't you prayed more kind of thing. He isn't there to just kind of always condemn us and put us down. He's actually wants to be there alongside us. Well, I want to teach you how to pray. I know your weakness. I know your infirmities. I want to come alongside you and help. And so our Lord wants us to learn how to pray. And he's provided much through his word and his example to help us to learn to pray. And so we see that from the word itself in Luke chapter 11. We see that he asked this question, Lord, teach us to pray. And so he gave essentially what is like a model prayer, kind of a structure for prayer. He said to them, when ye pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then we see further on in that passage that he gives the idea of that we're to pray with importunity. We're to pray and continue to pray. That we're not to give up in praying. To ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And the thought that as we pray that our Heavenly Father knows to give us good gifts. And so as we keep asking, we're going to keep receiving. And so there's a lot that we can see that Jesus taught and is taught elsewhere in the Scriptures about prayer. But then, of course, we see by the Lord's example, there's much that he teaches us about prayer as well. And in Luke chapter 22 is when he's in the garden. It says, and he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And so you see just the earnestness of his prayer, and just the selflessness of his prayer, that he made a request, but it was not my will, but thine be done. And so there's much we can learn from his example in terms of how to pray as well. And so he's there, that he's our high priest, that he is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He wants to help us. But it's something to realize also, because sometimes we tend to think of it in terms of, well, God is just kind of using his word, and it's kind of, I just have to look at that, and then I have to try on my own to try to make that happen. But we want to realize a couple things, that one, God is truly present with us all through the day, that we know that he fills heaven and earth, and we know that all of us are indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God, that we can't escape his presence. And as well, we know that he has total authority over everything that goes on this earth, that our lives are in his hands, that everything that happens, happens for a reason. They allow things in our life to test us and try us, and it's never beyond what we're able to bear. He'll always with it give a way of escape. And so it's kind of the thing, if he wants us to pray, and he's trying to teach us to pray, and he has his word, and the example that he leaves in his word, he's also, in the everyday times of our lives, we want to realize that he's trying to teach us to pray even in the midst of our circumstances. And sometimes he puts us in circumstances where we're like, well, what do? I have no idea what to do. Well, he's doing that because he's wanting to teach us how to pray. And that's the thing, is that we sometimes don't like to be in uncomfortable situations, situations where we feel we're, what we're facing is beyond our abilities to handle. But the thing is, pretty much everything is beyond our ability to handle. He's trying to get us to see that, getting us to pray. And so that's what you want to realize, is that, because sometimes we think of it as just, we have just kind of this compartmentalized life where I have this time in my devotions where I'm trying to learn to pray, and then I have to kind of go through life and hope that I put it into practice. It's actually having the sense that God's with us as we go, and he's trying to encourage us and challenge us to pray more and to do these things as it happens. And so having that really an awareness of what he's trying to do in our lives is good. We don't realize how much that he actually is at work in our lives sometimes. But then as well, we want to realize the significance of the disciples' request, because if you see there in Luke chapter 11, they didn't say, "Lord, teach us how to pray." That's not what the wording is. He says, "Lord, teach us to pray." And we think, well, what's the difference? Like, it's just one word difference. But it is a significant, because the focus in a question like that is not so much on what you would call the mechanics of prayer, of how to pray, how to formulate a prayer, or to say it right, or what to put on the beginning and the end. It's not with the mechanics of prayer. It's much more with the motivation for prayer. Teach us to pray, to exercise ourselves in prayer. Teach us to do that. And that's what we want to think about, is that that's what God wants. We can tend to, our problem is we focus too often on what words to use, what methodology we're supposed to use in our prayer. We often think, well, I have to start it out right, and I have to end it with, "In Jesus' name, amen," or it's not going to come through. Like, and I have to use the right words almost. And we think we're well-meaning, but in some ways it's almost like looking to God as like, well, this is sort of like a magic incantation. As long as I get the words in the right order, I'm going to get what I want. And that's not what it's about at all. And so we want to realize that. And sometimes we're focused on learning how to pray, and we struggle and we try to get it right. It doesn't sound right. It just sounds like really kind of pathetic sometimes when we try to get our words out to the Lord. And we get discouraged. We think, well, I don't know how to pray. I don't know who ever learned how to pray. But the thing is, Christ is wanting to teach us to pray. Just simply to do it. To pray to Him. And He knows our frailties. He knows our frame. He remembers that we're dust. We can't fool Him to thinking, oh yeah, we try to act, well, I'm going to act really spiritual and try to make a really spiritual sounding prayer. And it's like, He knows who we are. We can't put on a facade that is going to fool Him. And so it's simply to pray in humility, in simplicity. And the more we do it, the better we're going to get at it. Because it's like with so many things of living the Christian life, it's the Lord wants us to put it into practice, and we're not going to get it right to start with, but as He enables us, we're going to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Him. But then as well, we want to recognize what is the proper mindset in prayer, and what prayer is kind of all about, and kind of when we can kind of know, okay, I'm doing this wrong. Something's not the way it should be if this is what's coming out. And we recognize, first of all, that sin in our lives is always going to hinder our prayers. That we see that in Psalm 66, verse 18, that it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If something's not right between me and God, that we can't just kind of pretend it's not there, because God sees it and He wants us to deal with it. He wants us to confess it and forsake it. But when we try to pretend it's not there, then there's a barrier to our prayer. And we see it in Isaiah 59 where it says, "The Lord's hand is not shortened that He cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that He cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from you and your God, that He will not hear." And so it's the thought that we want to deal with those things, that we're not... And that's the thing, again, we're not looking at prayer being this spiritual exercise where we're trying to show God that we're religious or something like that. It's talking to God, communing with Him, and being genuine. And so when we realize that there's sin in our life, we need, through our confession and through God's forgiveness, to keep our fellowship with God strong. And that's what prayer is fellowship with God, where we commune with Him. And so when we find sin, it says, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's the thought, that it isn't something when we've sinned that means we don't talk to God, that we run away and hide. like Adam and Eve did in the garden, but it's no, we actually run to him and just put ourselves before him. I've failed you, please help me. Cleanse me of what I've done. And that restores us to fellowship as believers and allows our prayers to make headway. But secondly, our prayers should not be given in pride, but rather in humility and brokenness. And we see this in Luke chapter 18. This is a parable that Jesus gave. Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 9, it says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." I remember in looking over this passage, my pastor growing up would said of the Pharisee that prayed that he had eye trouble. But it wasn't the eye trouble that you need new glasses for. You kind of see as it shows there, it says, "I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, and all this, and I fast twice in a week, I give tithes of all that I possess." All he's talking about is himself. And so what does Jesus say of him? That he stood and prayed thus with himself. That what he had to say never got past the ceiling where he was. That it just, it was meaningless. And so it's kind of the thing, okay, if in my prayer all it's about is me, 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 and all these things that I've done, then I'm doing it wrong. Something's not right. It's not going to make any headway. But instead, we want to understand what the publican did. That we would say, well, boy, his prayer wasn't very long. It wasn't very wordy. It wasn't very fancy or anything. But he just said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And that prayer made a whole lot more difference than all the flowery words that the Pharisee said. And it's the thing is that he was humble. He saw himself as a man that was in need of God, and so he prayed to the Lord. And that's what we want to do, that we, it's not something where we're coming to the Lord and thinking we're something so big and great and mighty, because even if we were the biggest and greatest and mightiest person on this earth compared to God, we're still nothing. And so coming to ourselves with really the proper perspective of who we are, that this is the God in whose hand our breath is, that that He is so amazing and so holy, and I am so unworthy, but yet He bids me to come, that we come to Him in humility and brokenness. And we see Psalm 34, verse 18, it says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save us such as be of a contrite spirit." And that's what we really want to do, is we come to Him as being needy, because we are needy. There's so much that we need Him every day of every hour for just... I know there's a song I always enjoy hearing. It's, "I can't even walk without you holding my hand." How true that is of the Lord, of how much we need Him. And so coming to Him in humility and brokenness is what we are. We want our prayers to be, that it's we have our perspective of the Lord and of ourselves proper. As well, we see too that our prayers are not given to impress either God or man. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. Matthew 6, verses 5 to 8. "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And so it's this idea that they'd pray and they'd make long prayers and everybody'd be like, wow, that person must be just such an amazing person because they can pray so long and so well and it sounds so good. But it's the thing that's not what a person prays for. It isn't to be seen of men. If that's all you're praying for, you have your reward. You're going to get what you want from other people. They might be impressed, but it's not going to impress God. And he says, but thou, when thou prayest, and in thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. And that's the thing, is that as we pray, that it's sometimes we almost think, well, if I just pray the same thing over and over again, that God's just going to answer it, kind of thing, and just because I'm doing that, and it's kind of getting a mindset, well, the Lord knows our needs, and it isn't just us sort of nagging him that's going to cause him to get our way, kind of thing. And you think as well in the Old Testament, especially in Isaiah 58, where it talks about God's people, where they fasted and did all these things, and they're asking, well, God, why aren't you hearing us? What's the matter with you? Aren't you impressed with all that we've done? And he said, well, no, I'm not impressed by it, because even though you're doing all these things, you're still mistreating your fellow man. And you need to deal with that. I'm not going to listen to your prayer when you're still doing that. And it's kind of the thing, is that too much with anything that we do as a believer, we can almost look at it as that way of, well, I'm going to do this either to be seen of men or to impress God, that I'll do this for God and then he'll almost do something for me. And that's not the point of what we're trying to pray for. It's coming to the Lord and being obedient to him, but seeking to honor him and seeking his help and blessing. But then finally, we want to recognize too that our prayers should not be self-focused, but rather focused on God and others. And it's kind of the thing when, like, and we'll look at it, when the Lord gives the example of kind of a model prayer, what is sometimes called the Lord's Prayer, you actually don't find a whole lot in there that's, like, in terms of the majority of what is spoken there, you don't find a lot that's like, provide for my needs. He has give us this day our daily bread, lead us not into temptation. But it starts basically with the worship of the Lord. It starts with praying for other people and honoring him and glorifying him. That if our prayers are only just kind of forgive me and gimme, then we're not doing it right. That's not just what prayer should be about. We don't ever want to have this thought of God as being like a heavenly Santa Claus, where sort of we make a list, and as long as we're good enough, that we're going to get everything on our list. That's not what we're trying to do. It's not this. Prayer isn't something where we're doing it to just get what we want. That we're doing it to commune with the Lord, to honor him, and yes, as we pray, we do have needs, but we're not supposed to be all about us. And that prayer so much more is about time with the Lord, of speaking with him, praying to the Lord on others' behalf. That we would say, well, Lord, I know that you know my needs. I trust that you're going to provide for them. Please help these other people who have needs much greater than what I have. And so trying to have our mindset in that way, that yes, we pray to God for our own needs, but we're not focused on ourselves. And prayer isn't just a means for us to get what we want. But instead that it's a life that we learn to live of communion with the Lord. Because if we're praying just for getting what we want, and we do get what we want, then a lot of times we'll just stop praying. And that's too often what our Christian life is like we have a need, Then we pray, that need is met, and things seem fine, so then we stop praying. But then a need comes up, or some difficulty comes in our life, and says, Lord, I need help, and He helps us through that, and everything's good again, so then we stop praying again. And certainly I would say that if we prayed in between those times, maybe we wouldn't have to get to those crisis points before we pray again. Maybe the Lord would kind of help us navigate through life a little bit better so we wouldn't get to those desperation points. But it's kind of realizing that even in the little things that we need Him and that we need communion with Him. We need His direction. We need His guidance. We need His wisdom and strength. And so there's so much that we need to pray for, not only for ourselves, but for others. And so, as we continue to go through this, I hope it'll be an encouragement to you, because I think it's something all of us that we know we want to learn to pray more, not just, and it's more than just sort of like a resolution or New Year's resolution or something like that, that we kind of, well, I'd like to do that, but then, of course, kind of we make the resolution January 1st and January 2nd, we've already broken our resolution. But it's something, we want to do it, but it's something when we set out to do something, it's, okay, how do we get from where we are to where we want to be? And I hope that this could help you in that, to kind of give you some things that will help you as you seek to develop your own prayer life as well. So, that brings us to the end of our lesson. Was there any thoughts or questions before we went to our final hymn?
I have a parable that was right under where we started today, and Jesus gives the example of prayer, and it goes into this parable about asking and the importunity. And when it gets up, and you know, that bothered me for a long time. And I'm sure I heard sermons that said, you know, keep on asking and finally God will give it to you. That's not really what it's teaching there. It's teaching that God isn't like that. A parable can show what God is like, or show this is what not what God is like.
Mm-hmm.
And if God is not like this person, you have to keep asking. He's kind of good Father that knows what you need even before you ask it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and it's kind of learning that, like, there's it's the thought of praying in faith, knowing His character, knowing He knows what our needs are before that, that it's not just kind of we nag God and then He gives us whatever we want, that it's instead knowing that He knows what's best, and sometimes we find that He doesn't answer our prayer like we think or the time that we think, because He knows what we actually need and when we actually need it. And sometimes there's lessons to be learned all along the way, of whether it's coming to Him in prayer or waiting for Him to provide the answer or whatever it might be, that there's a lot more to it than just kind of a formula to get what I want from God. I think that's too often is what we tend to look at prayer as being, and that's it's almost like we think prayer is there to change God's mind in our favor, but in a lot of ways it's more changing our minds in His favor and getting us to see what our real needs are, and so that we pray in His will, and then He's glad to answer according to His will. So yeah, there's a lot to think about as we go through it. Any other thoughts before we conclude? Well, all right. Let's turn then to our last hymn.